All right, so today we're gonna look into a case
Oh, yeah.
that really kind of flips the idea of justice on its head.
Interesting.
Imagine you get arrested, right? But not because you did anything wrong,
Okay.
because the
Yeah.
government thinks, something important.
Huh.
Sounds kind of straightforward, but what if they never actually planned to like call you to testify?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's the crazy situation we're going to break down today with this case, Ashcroft v. Al-Kid.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of this one.
It all happens right after 9/11 when everyone was on edge about national security.
Right.
But then we saw some like big clashes between, keeping the country safe and individual rights.
For sure. Yeah, I think this is a perfect example of that tension.
Definitely. So this case really gets at that.
This case really centers on this thing called a material witness warrant.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
So basically, this legal tool was meant to make sure that super important witnesses to a case actually showed up to court, so they couldn't run away or just ignore a subpoena.
Right.
But with Al-Kid, the question is, was the warrant used the right way, or was it just a way to hold him because they were suspicious?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So let's get into the details here. We're talking about Abdullah Al-Kid,
Okay.
an American citizen who gets arrested at Dulles Airport back in 2003.
Dallas, okay.
The FBI hits him with this material witness warrant, saying he's got key information for a terrorism trial.
All right.
Specifically for a guy named Sammy Omar al-Hussein.
Right.
But here's where things get really weird. They detain Al-Kid for 16 days,
Wow.
then put him under super strict supervised release for over a year.
Seriously.
And get this, he's never called to testify, not even once.
Oh, wow.
And to top it all off, they never charge him with anything.
Oh, man. So they just detained him on suspicion?
Pretty much. It's a real head scratcher. And
Yeah.
Al-Kid was not having it.
What do you do?
He comes back swinging with this lawsuit against the attorney general at the time, John Ashcroft.
Oh, wow. So he sued the government.
Yep, a Bivens lawsuit.
Now, those are pretty rare, right? Super rare. It's basically a way to hold federal officials directly responsible when they violate your constitutional rights.
Ah, I see.
Al-Kid's argument was that the government totally twisted this material witness law into a tool for preventative detention.
Which is totally not allowed.
Exactly, a huge no-no. And this wasn't just some random case.
Right, this could set a precedent.
Exactly. We're talking about a case that could change how the law works.
And it really went back and forth in the courts,
Oh,
too.
yeah, this thing was a roller coaster.
So first, Al-Kid gets a win. Both the district court and the Ninth Circuit agree with him.
Wow.
They even reject Ashcroft's attempts to say he's immune from the lawsuit.
Huh. So Al-Kid is on a roll.
Right, but then plot twist, the Supreme Court steps in
Oh, boy.
and totally changes things.
Yeah.
They end up ruling in favor of Ashcroft.
And so it flips completely.
Yeah.
Man, talk about a legal whiplash.
Yeah.
So what were the big legal arguments that like swayed the Supreme Court?
Well, there were two main issues. First, did Ashcroft, as the attorney general, have this blanket immunity for policy
Yeah.
decisions?
Meaning he's untouchable no matter what the results were.
Okay.
And second, this is where things get really interesting. Did something called qualified immunity protect him from being held responsible?
Okay, so what is that?
Think of qualified immunity like a shield that protects officials from lawsuits unless they broke a really specific, clearly established law.
So it's like saying you can't get a speeding ticket unless there's a sign clearly showing the speed limit.
Exactly. It gets super tricky.
I'm starting to see that. But like, how did the Supreme Court justify siding with Ashcroft? If there were all these questions about the warrant and what he intended, why let him off the hook?
Well, that's where Justice Scalia's majority opinion comes in.
Oh.
He really focuses on the Fourth Amendment, the one that protects against unreasonable searches and seizures.
Right, of course.
Scalia says that when you're looking at the Fourth Amendment, the analysis has to be objective.
Objective.
Yeah, meaning the warrant itself was technically valid, so it doesn't matter what Ashcroft's personal reasons for the arrest might have been. They don't matter legally speaking.
Really? So
Yeah.
even if they suspected Al-Kid of something worse, as long as the warrant itself was like technically okay, that's all that mattered.
That was the core of the majority's argument. They basically said, let's assume Al-Kid is right, that this whole thing was just a way to detain him. But because there wasn't a clear law specifically saying you can't use material witness warrants for this kind of preventative detention, Ashcroft is in the clear.
He's protected by qualified immunity.
Exactly.
Wow, that must have been a tough pill to swallow for Al-Kid.
Oh, for sure. But This wasn't a unanimous decision.
Right. There were other opinions.
Yeah, the other justices had some things to say.
What were some of the other opinions?
Well, Justice Kennedy, for example, agreed with the outcome, but he wasn't totally happy about it.
Really?
Yeah, he even issued a warning saying, hey, this whole material witness law, we need to keep an eye on this because it could be abused.
So even though he sided with the majority, he was like, this whole thing is kind of sketchy.
Exactly. Then you have Justice Ginsburg. She was much more forceful.
Oh, yeah. She usually is.
Questioning not only if the warrant was valid in the first place, but also how awful the conditions were for Al Kidd while he was detained.
So she's saying it might not have even been legal to use the warrant at all.
Right. Not even considering whether using it was the right thing to do.
Wow. So we have some real disagreements here.
Big time.
Yeah.
And then Justice Sotomayor brought a totally different viewpoint.
Oh, yeah. What was her take?
She said the court should have completely avoided the whole Fourth Amendment issue. Her approach is all about judicial minimalism.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that.
It means courts should avoid making big sweeping rulings on constitutional questions if they can decide a case on narrower grounds.
Ah, so focus on the specifics.
Exactly.
So even though they all agreed on the end result, they had very different ways of getting there.
For sure. And I think this case really shows how much debate there was about balancing security and freedom, especially after 9/11.
Yeah, this case wasn't just some isolated incident.
Not at all.
It really opened up this whole discussion about how far the government can go and what happens to individual rights when national security is on the line.
Exactly. And I think that's a great place to pause and gather our thoughts.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground already. We've got way more to unpack. So let's take a break and come back to explore the impact of Ashcroft v. Al Kidd and what it all means for everyday people.
Sounds good.
Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back.
All right, so we're back. And before the break, we were really digging into Ashcroft v. Al Kidd, you know?
Yeah.
A case that really makes you think about how far the government can go in the name of security.
Definitely a case that keeps you thinking.
Right. We went over the facts, the arguments, and even got into what the justices were thinking with those other opinions.
Mm.
But the big question is, what does it all mean? What are the lasting effects of this decision?
Yeah, that's the big one, isn't it? I mean, on the one hand, you could say that this case just proved what we already knew. Qualified immunity is a pretty powerful thing. You know, this legal shield that makes it really hard to hold government officials responsible, even if what they did seems kind of shady, as long as they can say there wasn't a clear law against it at the time.
Right. So it's like, hey, as long as there's no rule saying we can't do it, we're good.
Yeah, basically. But that does kind of give officials a lot of leeway, especially when they're talking about national security.
That's what worries me about all this.
Right.
Does this mean the government can basically detain anyone they want for as long as they want if they can just call it a material witness situation? Where's the line?
Well, it's not quite that simple, thankfully.
Okay, good.
The case didn't say that using material witness warrants like this is definitely constitutional.
Right.
It just said that Ashcroft couldn't be held personally responsible because back then the law wasn't clear enough. It's like the court saying, look, we can't punish you for breaking a rule that wasn't clearly written down.
Hmm. So maybe this could be challenged again in the future now that we have this case as a precedent.
It's possible, but it would be a tough fight for sure. But this case did bring these issues to everyone's attention. It got people talking. And those dissenting opinions, especially from Ginsburg and Sotomayor, were really powerful. They weren't just disagreeing. They were saying, hey, this could be really bad, and we need to look closely at how the government uses these legal tools.
So even though Al Kidd lost it, it sparked a debate that's still going on.
For sure. This case wasn't just some random legal thing. It made us look at how we balance security and freedom, especially after 9/11.
Right. It's this constant struggle.
Exactly. We saw it with the Patriot Act, the NSA surveillance programs, the whole Guantanamo Bay thing.
It's like we're always trying to walk this tightrope, trying to keep ourselves safe without losing the things that make us who we are.
And Ashcroft v. Al Kidd shows us that this balance is really fragile. We have to be careful that our response to fear doesn't end up hurting the values we're trying to protect.
So what does this mean for us regular people who maybe aren't legal experts but still care about this stuff? What can we do?
I think the most important thing is to stay informed and be involved.
Okay.
We need to understand how legal cases like this affect our lives and speak up when we see our rights being threatened. It's easy to feel powerless when we're talking about the Supreme Court and legal stuff.
Right, it feels so far removed.
But we actually have a part to play. Our system needs people who are informed, who think critically, and who hold their leaders accountable. Cases like this shouldn't make us afraid or apathetic. they should make us want to learn more and get involved.
So it's not about becoming lawyers overnight. It's about understanding the issues and speaking up.
Exactly. It's about realizing that these legal battles have real consequences for all of us.
And that we can make a difference.
Yeah, totally. And remember, history is full of times when regular people changed things when they stood up against injustice. They got organized, spoke out, demanded better, and made things better.
That's a powerful reminder. And it's a perfect lead into our final segment. We've covered a lot today. So let's take a minute to go over some key takeaways from Ashcroft v. L. Kidd. And maybe leave our listeners with some things to think about, some questions to consider as they move forward. We'll be right back. And we are back for the final part of our deep dive today on this fascinating case, Ashcroft v. L. Kidd. We've really been focusing on this whole idea of national security versus individual rights.
It's a theme that just keeps coming up, doesn't it? Especially in a post-9/11 world.
Definitely. So as we wrap things up, let's try to break down the big takeaways from this case. What did we learn from this whole situation?
I think the first thing that really stands out is how strong qualified immunity is. This legal doctrine, it's like a shield protecting government officials, and it makes it so hard to hold them responsible for doing wrong, even when what they did seems off.
Yeah, it's almost like they get this benefit of the doubt, this assumption that they were acting in good faith, even if the results weren't great. But doesn't that create a kind of a dangerous situation? I mean, couldn't this be used to justify all sorts of government overreach just by saying it's for national security?
That's the big question, isn't it? And unfortunately, Ashcroft v. L. Kidd doesn't really give us a clear answer. It leaves us with this uneasy feeling that the government could use vague laws and loose interpretations to justify things that step on our rights.
Another thing that I found really interesting about this case is how important it is to have clear laws. You know, laws that are easy to understand and not open to a bunch of different interpretations. The whole Supreme Court ruling really came down to the fact that there wasn't a specific law that said you couldn't use material witness warrants for this kind of preventive detention.
That's a great point. The case shows us that when laws aren't clear, it can have huge consequences, especially when we're talking about basic rights. We need laws that are precise and straightforward, particularly in areas where the government could potentially overstep its bounds.
Right. So we need laws that are well written and easy to understand. But even then, laws are only as good as the people who enforce them. What about the courts? Don't they have a responsibility to make sure that laws are applied fairly and that our rights are protected?
Absolutely. And I think one of the good things about Ashcroft v. L. Kidd, even though the outcome wasn't what L. Kidd wanted, is that it created a lot of discussion within the court itself. Those dissenting opinions, especially from Ginsburg and Sotomayor, they were more than just disagreements. They were basically a call to action, urging the courts to be more proactive in protecting our rights to stand up against the government overreaching, even when national security is involved.
It's a good reminder that even in the Supreme Court, there's room for different opinions and healthy debate about how we understand and use the law. Gives me some hope, actually.
Me too. I think that's a key takeaway from all of this. Ashcroft v. L. Kidd might be about something that happened in the past, but it tells us a lot about who we are as a country, the values we believe in, and this constant struggle to find that balance between safety and freedom.
Makes you think about some tough questions.
Whoa.
Like, what are we willing to give up for security? How much power should the government have? And how do we make sure our basic rights aren't ignored in the process? Not easy questions, but we can't just pretend they don't exist.
Exactly. Ashcroft v. L. Kidd isn't just something you read in a textbook. It's something every citizen should think about. It reminds us that the fight for our rights never ends. We have to stay aware and involved and never take our freedoms for granted.
That's a great point to end on. So we're going to wrap up our deep dive here. We hope you found it informative, interesting, and maybe even a little bit challenging. But most of all, we hope it encourages you to keep learning about these issues, stay informed, get involved, and never forget how important your rights are. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.